Good morning. It's a joy to be with you all this morning for worship. It's always good to be together in the house of the Lord with God's people. Amen. That was great worship. I'm just so thankful for our worship team and them leading us into God's presence week in and week out. Before I jump into my sermon today, there's three things that I want to just share with you. If you would just kind of go with me here. Number one is this. Pastor Gary Paladin left on Saturday, and he is on his next mission. Where he's on mission always, where God has called him. He's in Pakistan and Mongolia from February 7th and to March 2nd. So I'd ask you and invite you to join me as we continue to pray and lift up Pastor Gary, the mission, and of course Donna and the family as he's away. And just protection at just a crazy time, but we know God has called him for such a time as this. Amen. The second thing I want to kind of draw your attention to is this, is that some of you may know Pastor Jeff Leake of Allison Park Church. He passed away last night. If you know him, right now they're friends of some of our pastors, and I know some of you know them. But I just encourage you to lift up the Leake family, that you lift up Allison Park, that church right now as they're grieving. I just can't imagine. He was 61 years old, passed away of a heart attack. So it's just tragic. So if you wouldn't mind, we would just pray for Jeff Leake and his family and our dear brothers and sisters at Allison Park. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and grace and mercy. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand your ways, but we know you are good and you are faithful. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor Jeff Leake, and we thank you for the ministry you called him to and the impact that he's had in the Pittsburgh area, and even the pastors and people within Brighton Heights and Bridge City Church. So Father, I pray that you would draw near to them as they mourn as a family, as they mourn as a church family. I pray for the peace of Christ to rule their hearts, their minds, and their church in these days. Lord, as they mourn, I pray that they would just draw near to you and continue to seek you with all they have. And so, Father, we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And then the third thing before I jump into my sermon, I appreciate your patience here, is that today is Connection Group kickoff. Connection groups are our form of small groups, if you're not familiar with that. We have Connection Group sign up in the back. You're going to hear more about that from Sam later on in the worship experience. But if you're a Connection Group coach, apprentice, or leader, I just want you to stand right where you are. Just stand right where you are. We have a couple in the house. I know some of them are in the back. There's one up there in the sound booth production, Kara. So if you could just reach out a hand to our Connection Group leaders. There's a lot of them back there as well. We're just going to pray right now. So Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thank you for each of the leaders that are stepping up and stepping in to lead Connection Groups and for the Brighton Heights community and the church right now. I just pray a blessing upon each one, that there would people be signed up, they would get connected, they would grow in discipleship to understand what your word says. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon them, to give them the words to say and words not to say, but Lord, that your Spirit would fall fresh upon each Connection Group and their leaders and their apprentices. So Father, we lift up this time to you, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated, leaders. Thank you for all you're doing. So today we are starting our new sermon series. We are talking about vision. We're talking about the direction where God is calling us as a church and where he's leading us. And so before I get into what we're doing and a breakdown of numbers and all those things, I think it's appropriate to kind of set the table with what the Bible says of what vision and calling and obedience looks like. Amen. And so that's where we're going to go today. A few months ago, I was at my house, and I heard the smoke detector in my house start to chirp. Chirp, chirp, make that chirp sound. Has anyone ever happened to anyone? Is it just me? Okay. All right, and so you know that sound. And so it wasn't loud enough to panic, and it wasn't loud enough to stop what I was doing to go, like, see what's going on. But it was just an amount of just enough to annoy you. You know what I mean? That's what it was like. And so, and also ignore it. It's like, I'll just get to it later. Have you done that before? So chirp, I'll get to it later. Chirp, it's probably just the battery. I'll make time later. Chirp, I don't have time right now. I'll get to it. But until one night, I was in my bed. I was sleeping in my bed, and I heard this chirp, and I woke up. I was like, oh, there it is. I forgot to do that. what was I thinking? And so I sat up and my bones started creaking like floorboards, and I found a chair and I started going to each of the smoke detectors in my house. And one by one, I started pulling batteries from the ceiling. And then I was like, come on, man, why right now? Like, I should, and that was on me. I should have taken ownership of that, but that's what I get. So I'm out of bed, I'm doing all the things, I'm checking all over the place. And here's what hit me, that it wasn't the detector that was broken. The detector was actually doing its job, right? It was telling me it was doing what it was designed to do. But rather I was ignoring the warning that was given me. And so its job is to warn me of a fire that could take place potentially in my house. But I treated that warning and that chirp as an inconvenience, as an invitation to go and change the batteries in the smoke detector. Have you ever felt the inconvenience of a smoke detector chirp? Have you ever felt that? Yeah. And so it's an invitation. It's telling us that when it chirps like that, it's saying, go take care of this. This is important for your safety. This could save your family's life. And so rather seeing that, I saw it as an inconvenience. But what was happening, I think, is this, is what happens when we deal with this in our own lives, God begins to stir in us, right? He begins to say, there's something that you need to deal with. And when we get that feeling, we're saying, God's going chirp. And we're like, not now, God, I'm busy. I'll make time for it later. And that happens. So God begins to stir in us, inside of us. And that when that chirp starts, there's this nudge in our hearts that begin to happen. This burden begins to happen. This feeling that God's trying to get our attention. But what do? We continue to make excuses. We continue to say, oh, I have an agenda, or I got this, or I'll get around to it later. But God's saying, hey, saint, I love you. Could you just give me a second of your time? Chirp, I'll get around to it. Nope, chirp. Something bothers you, but you're not moving to take care of it because we're not centered, we're not focused. I'm guilty of that. I'm preaching to myself this morning. And so maybe some of you are here, or maybe God is trying to get your attention to slow down, to hear him, to find him, to look into that fire that we just sang about. Maybe there's somebody else in there, rather than it's just a fire, rather than it's just a chirp or an inconvenience in your life. And so God begins to chirp. And so in the Bible, there's a great story in Exodus chapter 3 that we read about the life of Moses. We see this life of Moses where he has this burning bush experiences. Or if you're familiar with that, you know what I'm talking about. If you turn in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3, that's where we're going. And so Moses has this burning bush experience in this period in Moses' life. He is a shepherd. Now, Moses' life can be divided up into three 40-year periods. The first 40 years of his life, he was in Egypt. He had the best education of everything. And then he had an experience which caused him to flee into the desert. He actually murdered somebody, buried them in the sand, and fled to the desert. Now, it was in this period in Exodus chapter 3 where God is trying to chirp and get Moses' attention. He's trying to get his attention. And so as he goes into this, he's now a shepherd. He's married. He has a father-in-law. He's got a family to take care of. But also, he is a shepherd, which means he has sheep to take care of. And so he went from prince of Egypt, now he's a shepherd in Midian Desert, right? That's what he's called to do. But as he sees this, God is trying to get him to slow down enough to see the vision that God has for his people. To see what God has for his people, what he's calling him to. And this calling is so much bigger than himself. And this calling is actually frightening for Moses. And he begins to make excuses and begins to chirp, right? Ultimately, what he's looking for in this period, in this story, is he's looking for Moses in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of the, I'll get around to it. He just wants him to be obedient, to walk in faith. What do you mean God this morning is calling you? He put you here for this, and he's trying to chirp and get you to slow down, to have a burning bush experience with him. And so what we're talking again, what we're talking about, I'm trying to set the table for us, is that as a church, where we're going and what this is about, but we look at what vision means and what calling means and what obedience means. That's where we're going today. So the first point is this, is that we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, starting there, he has this burning bush experience, and he sees this bush off to the side. It's catching fire, and he goes, huh, I must go see what this is about. And so that's my first point. When we think about vision says, I must go see this. I must go see what this is about. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, you can read behind me or turn in your book or your app. So one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, get this, it didn't burn up. It didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. That would probably be my response too. Why isn't this bush burning up? I must go see it. And so as he's just tending sheep, and he's probably walked this same path hundreds of times, now he sees this bush off to the side and it's not burning up. God is trying to get his attention. God is chirping. And all of a sudden he goes, I must go see what this is about. In verse 4, then the Lord, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. And so Moses got curious about what was going on with this burning bush experience, and God called him over, and he says, he called him by name. He called him by name. He called him by name. He knew who he was. And this begins, this vision is something bigger than themselves. Moses, if you notice here, he's not preaching. He's not leading. He is just tending sheep. That's what he's doing in the ordinary, mundane things of life. Think about your everyday life. Maybe God is doing something at your work or your drive or whatever it is. Maybe that there's things around you that we need to have the eyes to see God at work. That we get to see that the Holy Spirit is actually moving around us, but sometimes we become so busy and just about our stuff and our agenda and everything else that we miss God speaking to us gently in the burning bush moments of life. Moses' life, again, is in this second period of his life. God prepared him in that education time in Egypt. Now he's got his attention as a shepherd, but that third period, that third 40-year period, he's leading the people out of Egypt. He's taking them into different lands, and God is really using him because he was obedient. And so God shows up in the mundane. I want you to think about that in your own life. Where is God showing up? Are you missing that? Because I'm telling you, he does. If you read church history, you read church saints, they said that Brother Lawrence wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God, and he says that God shows up in those ordinary, mundane things, like planting flowers or taking care of your house. That's when he shows up. He speaks to you. And so I think this bush didn't burn up, and Moses said, okay, this is something different. God is in this. Do we have the eyes to see, church, that God is in the mundane, that he's trying to get your attention, that he says, I want you to listen to me? And sometimes we just need to have just that tug at our heart, that hear that chirp, the move, just to kind of align with the Holy Spirit to say, well, God, what are you speaking in my life? And so vision is this. Vision is saying, I must go see this. What is God in your own life right now calling you to see in the world around you, in your family? What is God saying, showing you what you can do to jump in and help advance the kingdom of God here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights? And so that's what he's calling. So vision is noticing what others walk past. I like that. Vision is noticing what others walk past. And vision is paying attention when God is trying to get your attention. And so many times other people just walk by things or people or communities and they're not paying attention. And God's saying, that's your mission field right there. That's what I'm calling you there. But we hear, chirp, I'll get around to it. Chirp, I'm too busy. Chirp, I don't have batteries right now. God is calling you to step up and have that vision that there's something bigger than ourselves. Paul would later write in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, he says this, and I love this verse. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you were called, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people. And so as Paul was praying this, the eyes of his heart, he's praying that over this people in Ephesus, that their eyes would be enlightened. And I believe this, when Moses had that burning bush experience, God enlightened the eyes of his heart to see and go over to that bush. And my hope and prayer as pastor, as we look at what God is calling us to here at this church, at this campus, is that he would enlighten our eyes to see where God is calling us to. Because he's calling us to something bigger and better than ourselves. And I'm inviting you to join me in this, that the eyes of our heart would say that there's a community outside of these doors that need to hear the gospel, that there's people that are lonely that need to connect, there's families that need to connect and hear the gospel. And so we need you to have those eyes open, that your eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I love that verse. And so vision begins when you stop ignoring that chirp. For far too long, we're ignoring that chirp that God has placed in our lives. And it's annoying us more than it's getting our attention. It's there serving us to align us with what God is doing. So my question is this, is what vision is God calling you to? What is he calling you to do? What is God placing in your life to go and see what this is about? Because if you understand this, that there's burning bush moments in our lives. Obviously, it's not like Moses' burning bush, but there's a spiritual thing in our lives that he's calling us to. What is that for you this morning? What is that? Is it working with our children's ministry? Is it maybe there's a ministry here that doesn't exist that God has placed you here for to start? Maybe that's you. Maybe you can come up here and be one of the vocalists or the instrumentalists that lead us in worship and in the presence. Maybe it's a connection group leader, or maybe it's our prayer team. I don't know what it is, but God is calling you to have a vision and the eyes of your heart enlightened this morning. Amen? The second thing is we talk about what vision is. It's noticing the things that other people don't, and it's noticing that what God is at work. Here's the thing. When he has a vision for your life, he's calling you to follow him and calling you to join him. Moses goes from saying, I must go see this, to saying, here I am. He's making a declaration of his self that he is here. He is available. He's showing up. Can you say that about your life? Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me. So Exodus 3 verses 5 through 10 says this. Let's read. Do not come any closer, God said to him. He's at the burning bush. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Why? Because of God's holiness, because he recognized it was God in the fire. He recognized it was God in the bush. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the affliction. Listen to the heart of who God is as he speaks out to him and as he calls him to join him. Listen to the heart of God and God's goodness and God's vision for this. He says, I'm calling you. He says, I have indeed seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. God's people in this time are enslaved in Egypt, and they have been crying night and day for him to be delivered, for them to be delivered. He goes on. It says, I have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I am aware of their sufferings. And I have come down to the rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen how severely the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That's the calling. You hear that? What's bothering God is he needs someone to step up and step in, and he calls Moses to join him. That's an amazing story. And God calls Moses, join me. Before God gives him an assignment, God gives Moses this holy moment. Maybe in your life that God wants to have that holy encounter with you, that he wants the Holy Spirit to move upon you, and he wants you to have those enlightened eyes to say, God is calling me to this. I don't know what that is for you, but I do know this as a pastor, that if you have breath in your lungs, pastors are supposed to encourage the church, that's you guys, to get involved, to listen to the calling that God has placed on each and one of your lives. Don't ignore it like a battery in a smoke detector. God is trying to get your attention this morning, amen? And so this is the thing. He says, take off your sandals. I love this. When he gives Moses that directive, he like takes his sandals off. Like, you think about what sandals do. Sandals are the thing that like move you and get you from place to place. And what he's telling Moses in this moment, in this holy moment, is to what? Slow down. Be present. Center yourself and your focus on me. What if God is saying to you this morning? What if he's saying to you, take off your sandals. Slow down. Have this encounter with me, because I'm calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. I'm calling you, and I'm inviting you, Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. I'm asking you to listen to have those eyes to see what God could be calling you to here at this church. And so calling is this. Calling is not a job. Calling is not a title. But calling is an invitation into something holy, into something bigger than ourselves. And then you hear what he says. God's heart. I love how it comes out through this. I have seen, he says. I have heard. I know. And then what's he say to him? Go. Go. He gives him that calling to go. God knows what you're going through. God knows the crappy week you had. God knows the struggles that you have, the financial difficulties, the relational difficulties. He knows that. He sees that. But he's calling you to go up and step closer to him, to rise above that. Because really, it's tough to go through that. But when we're called to be part of something bigger than ourselves, it gives us hope. And we sang about what this Jesus is our hope that we have. Jesus is our hope. And he calls us to. And so Moses, what I love is, for Moses, calling was not about his gifts, but it was about someone else's suffering. It wasn't just about his gifts, because Moses had some insecurities about his abilities, but God got his attention and called him to say, there's somebody that's suffering. Your people are suffering from where you came from. And so he got a perspective shift that God was saying, this is about suffering. Will you help and do something about it? Will you step up? And so when you use your gifts, it answers your prayer, okay? And your gifts are good. I'm not saying they're bad. But when you step into your calling, it answers someone else's prayer. It answers like maybe your parents' prayer, or maybe your mentor's prayer, or maybe what God has for you. It answers their prayer for you to have just this aligned life that you're called to something bigger and better than ourselves. And so calling always does this. And when you're called to do something, it's usually going to align. It flows out of compassion. Like, what breaks your heart? What kind of moves you to step up and step in? Like for me, I'll give you an example. When I was called, I became a Christian. When I was called as a young man to go into ministry, I was kind of rejecting it a little bit. I was afraid, to be honest with you. I didn't want to do it. It's not a lucrative job. But when God called me, and I came from a broken family, I won't get into it, but he said, I want you to use your brokenness to help bring healing and point others to me. And so he used that. He called me to use my brokenness, my story, to align with the Holy Spirit, and then go and tell people about Jesus. And I haven't looked back since. Has it always been easy? No. But I've always tried to strive and to hear God's calling, to have my eyes enlightened. So what I'm saying is this, is that whatever breaks your heart, and whatever you have compassion toward, what moves you to maybe a holy anger or righteousness, or something that moves you to action, that's what God may be calling you to. Maybe it's you see the brokenness that you see in kids and teenagers' lives. Maybe you're called to serve in that area. Maybe you love to hear and help lead people in worship. Maybe that's where God's leading. Maybe it's prayer, you know, that we have intercessory prayer. We have a prayer team that meets. Like, we need that. And so whatever is moving you, that compassion that God has placed, that fire in your heart, maybe that's where God is laying his calling in your life to go forward. Moses says, who am I? He gives that excuse. He goes, who am I? When God calls us, like I just said, I made an excuse. I was afraid. I didn't think I had it in me. But God maybe is calling you, and then what do we say? Maybe what are you saying? Is you're offering that excuse, and God doesn't want to hear our excuses, right? He wants to hear our obedience. He wants to watch us. He wants to hear how we're going to respond in obedience. So I want to encourage you, whatever that excuse you're throwing out there to not change the batteries, or that excuse that God's calling you to, like, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe it's to jump into school of ministry. I don't know what it is, but he's calling you. I'm telling you, he's calling you. And here's the thing, that when God calls us, he assures us that he will always be with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us, that there's purpose. And so when we say, who am I, there's usually attached to that, there's fear, there's anxiety. We feel like I don't have a purpose. But when God says, I will be with you, he qualifies us, and he says, I give you hope, I give you love, and I give you purpose and a direction, and I give you a mission. And so when we do that, we hear the calling placed in our lives, that's what God wants us to align with. So the Holy Spirit, I believe this, is moving upon this church. He's moving upon our church to listen and have the eyes of our heart enlightened and to align with what he's doing. I'm going to invite you to do that. So what is God calling you to do, church? What is he calling you to do? What is God calling you to? Only you can be part of. What is he calling you to do this morning? And then once we have vision, we have calling. The next thing is this, is obedience. He's calling you and I to a life of obedience. Moses says in Exodus 4, here I will go. There's a shift. There's a shift in his heart from kind of excuse making, kind of a timidness, a fear. But then he says, I will go. And now you begin to see that he understands, I'm not alone. I can do this. I can do this because of who God is and who I belong to God. And so obedience is when we say, here I can go. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says this. So we're still with the burning bush experience, and it says this. Then Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to my voice? You hear the excuses again? It's a legit question. For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord asked him, what is in your hand? Okay, what is Moses? He's a shepherd. He has a shepherd's staff. And Moses replies, a staff. And he threw it on the ground, said the Lord. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. And then later, God will say, pick the snake up by the tail, and then it turns back into a staff. But when you think about what that staff was, that 40-year period, that second 40-year period of Moses' life, that is all he knew. That's what he was comfortable with, as being a shepherd. And so God, sometimes when he calls us to obedience, he's calling us to leave the familiarity, the comfortableness, and where it's where we are. You are you with me? Are you awake? Okay, just make sure you're there. Okay, so when God's calling you, what is the staff in your hand? What is he calling you to throw down? What is that thing in your life that you're clinging to that God's saying, let that go. Let that go in your life. My staff when I was a young man was sports. I'm not saying sports is bad, and I love sports to this day, but football was like, it consumed me. It was part of who I was. And then the fear of being poor was also the other thing that consumed me. I didn't want to be poor as I grew up, and I didn't want my family to go through that. So those fear and my identity was wrapped up as an athlete and the fear of the future. Those are the two things that God said, lay that down. And once I did, I kind of went into my calling and I walked obediently. I've been in ministry since 1995. I've been walking faithfully. It's not always been easy. It's been beautiful. It's been beautiful and brutal at times. And it's just all those things in between. But here's the thing. God is calling you to obedience, to throw down that thing that you call your identity. For maybe it's a good identity, maybe it's a bad identity. But he says, I want all of you. I want you to find your identity in me. He says, throw it on the ground. And so he makes that mistake of kind of tying back to his fear and identity. And then he makes another excuse. Listen to what he says. Verse 10, Exodus chapter 4. Please, Lord, Moses replied, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue. So again, Moses is making another excuse. He's saying, I don't like public speaking. I can't speak. I need help, right? In verse 11, and then the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Do you notice how the Lord responds all the time? He's got an answer. He's got a response to how we're supposed to respond. And he's calling us out on our stuff. Change the battery. Who gave man his mouth? Who makes the mute or the deaf in the sight of the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you as you speak, and I will teach you what to say. What is the Lord saying to him? In obedience, I will be with you. In obedience, whatever you're dealing with, God is with you. Just walk in obedience. Here's what he said. Verse 13, Moses replies, Lord, please send someone else. Can you feel the tension? Please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron, the Levite, your brother? I know that he can speak well, and he is now on his way to meet you. God's providing a solution. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and he will be your spokesman. And it will be as if you were God to him. But take the staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. So he's saying he's picked up the new identities. He threw down his old one. He's picking up the new staff. God says, I am with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to give you all the things you need to do the stuff I've called you to. What is it that you're afraid of? What are you holding on to in your life that God is calling you to throw down? He's saying he wants you to walk in obedience. And sometimes what holds us back in obedience is that we're clinging to our fears and anxiety. And so we have that. Obedience then is vision in motion. Obedience is vision in motion. And so when God calls us And then when God gives us a vision, he calls us then to obedience. That's putting what is given to us in motion, taking it from this place, this sanctuary, and then living it out in motion out in the world so we can take that. So here's the thing. As today, as we start the connection group kickoff, I want to encourage you. Maybe God is calling you to kind of shake the dust off. Maybe he's calling you to grow more and more, to have more fellowship, more community, more fun, more whatever that is. He's calling you to do that. Part of that is being obedient and signing up. Just simply signing up for a group. There's many groups. You're going to have an opportunity after service to go back and sign up. You can sign up on your phone. But really it is, it's taking your next step. When you're obedient, you're asking that question, what is my next step in my walk with God? What is God calling me to? So we must go from, I must go see this, that's vision, to here I am calling, and then here I go. And so that's what we have, vision, calling, and obedience. Where are you on that, on those three? Maybe you're aligning yourself, but I wanna tell you this, over the next few weeks here at this church, that next two weeks, we're gonna hear what God has done and what God is calling us to, and there's an invitation, a calling for us to not idly sit back and to let the 20% do 80% of the work here, but we're inviting you to join in what God is calling us to do. That he wants you to be obedient where he's placed you. That includes the ministry, how you relate to other people, or your giving, whatever that is, but he's calling you to be obedient in that. And so I'm gonna end where I started with that sound. You think about the sound of the chirp of the smoke detector. With another chirp that I cannot stand, it's one of the worst sounds in the world, is the alarm clock. That is the worst. You're asleep and you wake up, you hear that noise and you smack the, I broke an alarm clock one time doing that. But when you hit that snooze, it goes off. You hear it, you know what it means. It means it's time to get up, it's time to get on with your day, but you don't want to deal with it just yet, right? You feel comfy, you feel warm, you're just tired as a dog, right? And you're still sleepy. But what do we do? We keep hitting the snooze button. We keep hitting the snooze button, or it's on our phone. It's like this. Boop, don't hit your phone. And just for a few minutes, we just like, I just need a little bit more time, just a little bit more snooze. Boop. And we graciously go back into that little sleep. Ah, this feels nice. I'm comfortable again. But the alarm goes off. Snooze, silence, alarm. Snooze, silence, alarm. But here's the thing, that it never turns off the alarm. We just keep hitting that snooze button, and we keep delaying our response to God. And God's trying to get your attention. He's sounding an alarm in your life. And I encourage you this morning, don't just hit the snooze button and say, I'll get around to it. I'm tired right now. But respond in obedience to where God is calling you. Maybe this morning there's a nudge or a burden or a vision or this calling that God is placing on your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit is moving on your life and saying, I want you to get into the game. I want you to make a difference this year. And so when we think about that alarm, maybe God is saying to you, you know, God didn't say no, but you just keep hitting that snooze button. And we say, this is the tension, this is where we are. When that alarm goes off in our lives, we say, not now, Lord. Or not this season, I'll wait till the next season. Or maybe later, or when I get around to it. But the alarm just keeps going off, and we keep hitting it. But God is persistent. God is persistent when he calls us. He doesn't give up. A great preacher called God the great hound of heaven, who pursues us. And one way or another, he's going to get your attention. He's going to get you, but he wants you to respond in faithful obedience. Amen? And so think about it. What could have happened if Moses just walked by that burning bush and he didn't respond? And he didn't have those enlightened eyes, right? But instead, Moses said, I must go see this. He responds with, God, here am I. And then he says, finally, I must go. And I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite you to stand right now. That in the next couple weeks, we're going to look back what we did in this year 2025 here at the church. But then we're also going to look ahead and to see where God is calling us to. And how he's asking us to step out. I'm inviting you as the pastor here to step out in obedience. This is gonna be fun. It's gonna be amazing what God is gonna do this year. I'm excited to see what God is gonna do in the life of this church and in this community here on the north side. But it responds with obedience first. It responds with obedience. That I know God has a vision and a calling, but it requires your obedience to respond to that. Don't just keep hitting snooze. Don't ignore the batteries. in the smoke detector, but respond with your life. There's an urgency of now. There's an urgency of now that we're called to respond to. So I'm inviting you, church, will you join in and respond in obedience with me? So Heavenly Father, we just pray right now. I just pray for each person here. Lord, it is so easy to hit the snooze button. It is so easy to ignore the things in our life. Lord, I just pray that we would have an enlightened eyes and heart, that we would move with your Holy Spirit, that we would see, that even in the mundane things of life, that we would see you at work and on the move in our lives, that we would see people around us in situations, Lord, that we would have compassion, that our hearts would break and be moved to action and obedience. And so, Father, I pray for that thing that may be causing some of us with reluctance and fear, holding back, that we just don't want to surrender that to you. So, Father, would you just move upon us as a church right now, that we would walk in faithful obedience, that you'd give us that vision, that you would call us to something bigger than ourselves, because eternity is at stake. Souls are at stake, Lord. So, Father, I pray right now that you'd just move us as a church deeper into relationship with you, that we would line with the Holy Spirit, and, Lord, you would call us to get up and walk faithfully in you. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon us right now. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Thank you for bringing the word to us today as we all get prepared to go forward. And I'll let you guys know.